Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me the keenest pleasure and the greatest delight to present to you the great author of the Tennessee Valley Authority who is here with us today. He has always been the friend of Tennessee and Tennesseans, just as he is the friend of all of the people of this country. I present to you the President of the United States, Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Governor Cooper, Governor Rivers, members of the Senate and of the House of Representatives, Chairman Morgan, and members of the Tennessee Valley Authority, and you, the good people of Tennessee and of the other six states that abut this great valley. I'm glad to come here today, especially because I took part in the laying of the cornerstone of this dam some years ago. But when I first passed this place, after my election, but before my inauguration as president, there flowed here, as most of us remember, a vagrant stream. A stream sometimes shallow and useless, sometimes turbulent and in flood, always dark with the soil that it had washed from the eroding hills. This Chickamauga Dam, the sixth in the series of mammoth structures built by the TVA for the people of the United States, is helping to give to all of us human control of the watershed of the Tennessee River in order that it may serve in full the purposes of mankind. This chain of man-made inland seas may well be named the Great Lakes of the South. Through them, we are celebrating the opening of a new artery of commerce, of new opportunities for recreation, and I see all these new power boats right here almost at my feet as I speak. We celebrate the relief from the desolation of floods. We celebrate new low-cost energy that has begun to flow to the homes and farms and industries in seven American states. This national holiday, September 2nd, Labor Day, has been appropriately selected because in the miracle that man has wrought, labor has played a vital role. In all of these 7 years, in heat and in cold, men have drilled and blasted through solid rock. They've poured ton after ton of concrete, and they have moved mountains of earth. They have worked with the strength of their hands, and they have operated complicated machinery with every form of modern skill. Never once in these years, never once in this, the biggest consolidated construction job ever undertaken directly by the national government, never has there been a substantial interruption in the continuance of your labors. This dam, all the dams built in this short space of years, stand as a monument to the productive partnership between management and labor, between citizens of all kinds working together in the public weal. collective bargaining, and efficiency have proceeded hand in hand. It's noteworthy that the splendid new agreement between organized labor and the Tennessee Valley Authority begins with the words, "the public interest in an undertaking such as the TVA is paramount." It is appropriate, therefore, that we recognize this signal achievement on the day, Labor Day, when the whole nation pays tribute to labor's contribution to the democracy that we are now preparing to defend. To all of you, therefore, all of you who have contributed to make these structures possible throughout this beautiful valley of the Tennessee, to all of you, I extend the nation's thanks. The only note of sorrow that can properly be sounded on a great day like this, perfect in its scenery, perfect in the crowd that's come here today, perfect in our weather, but the only note of sorrow that can properly be sounded lies in the misplaced emphasis that so many people have put on the objectives of the government in building up this great Tennessee Valley project. It was at a press conference that I held at Warm Springs down in southwest Georgia, way back in January 1933, after I had visited the valley with that splendid fighting American, Senator George Norris of Nebraska, it was way back there, more than 7 years ago, that I put his vision and my vision into words. For many years in different parts of the nation, I have been interested in what I had called already in 1933 the problem of better land use, a problem that necessarily had to include existing facts relating to harmful land use. In the valley of the Tennessee River, therefore, I had come to consider the facts of devastating floods that had existed for many generations, floods that washed away houses and roads and factories, floods that took great tolls of human life, floods that threatened the very security of Chattanooga itself and of many other communities on this river, on the Ohio River, and even down in the lower reaches of the Mississippi. I had studied the washing away of the wealth of soil on the main stem of the river, on its many mountain tributaries, and up in the creeks and the hills of the higher valleys. I had seen water commerce impeded by shoals, by winding, variable channels. I had understood the waste of potential hydroelectric energy. Yes, I'd seen forests denuded or burned, but worst of all, I'd seen the splendid people living in parts of several states fighting against nature instead of fighting with nature.